One ball, one strike, one out, one run. Jackie at the bat and kids when he done.
Thanks, Rob. It's Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, you know, next week we got spring break, so we won't be here, which means we will miss the fun and the part I love most about Chicago spring is the previews of the baseball squads, the Chicago Cubs and Chicago White Sox. So we're doing it a little bit earlier. Kevin Powell stuck around a little bit later tonight. Powell at the Park is the podcast, which is great, man. And you can find that here, WGNradio.com, but also iTunes, all that kind of places.
Yeah. Rick Hahn on the most recent episode.
There you go.
Good stuff there. Appreciate it. Let me plug that.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You can hear Kevin, of course.
Baseball's back, baby.
Baseball is back. A week from now will be the Major League Baseball. It'll be on. So, all right, so let's talk about the Cubs and the Sox. Let's start with the Cubs.
Cool.
A good spring training for them. I mean, for all the eyes here at this station, of course, but also in Chicago on the young players that are on the White Sox and all that. A pretty limited and mild spring training for the Cubs, yet they were the best. They didn't lose at all.
Yeah, well, for the Cubs spring training, I mean, it was very, being around them for a couple weeks, it was very businesslike, and it wasn't stiff by any means, because if Joe Maddon's your manager, it's not going to be stiff and overly serious, but it certainly felt different this year compared to this time last year. You know, they were coming off the World Series, so I wouldn't say they weren't focused, but there's just something different, a little bit different about, I think the players respect how much the Cubs front office does in terms of adding talent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look what they did. Chatwood was a great value signing as a fifth starter, and then they go spend $120 million to get Darvish when most teams aren't spending pretty much any money this offseason. So I think that the Cubs players appreciate that. They get that. So I think that, you know, to me, it's as if they needed any sort of extra motivation or wake-up call. That's kind of what it is. It's like, okay,
yeah,
all right, this is awesome. We have you, Darvish, who's going to be like our third or fourth starter.
You got Darvish and Chatwood. You talked about the additions to this team. The course, the big minus that won't be here this year is Jake Arrieta, signed with the Philadelphia Phillies. Yeah. Joe Maddon's made a ton about team chemistry, about these guys getting along. You, Darvish, comes in. Darvish spent most of his years in Texas. He went to the Dodgers and played for the rent-a-player last year for the World Series. But how does he fit in? I mean, and also, is there a dynamic you have to think about by losing Jake Arrieta? Because he was the face, and he seemed to get along with the players. I mean, he was always front and center when it came to, like, the PJ thing or wearing your pajamas, the stupid stuff that the Cubs would do.
Yeah, I think that Arrieta absolutely had a voice. You know, I always say this, and I've said this a million times, that Anthony Rizzo is the face of the Cubs. He's the heart of the Cubs, all those sorts of cliches you want to throw out there. But when you were in the Cubs clubhouse last year, in the past couple of years, really, the guys that had the most presence, when you knew that if they were going to talk, everyone was going to listen. And that was the one wing of the Cubs clubhouse, which was John Lester, John Lackey, and Jake Arrieta. Their lockers were all next to each other. When those guys talked, you listened. You could just tell they had a presence there. So Arrieta's gone. He goes to Philly. Lackey is not officially retired. But John Lester this spring comes in, and he's got, like, this whole different attitude, a much more of a you can tell he's been a more concerted effort by him to kind of be that veteran leader. And Maddon said it within the first week there. He's like, wow, it's so different from Lester. And it's not like some crazy extraordinary change in John Lester. I just think Lester realizes, like, yeah, you know, maybe I should probably step it up a little bit. I'm the 32, 33-year-old veteran. I've won three World Series in my career. I should be that guy. You know, I think the Cubs' chemistry right now is, look, they were all so young when they won the World Series. They are still so young. So
it's amazing.
When you win a World Series 2 years ago when they're all 21, 22, 23, that's a bond that's never going to be broken ever, really.
Well, this team went to the NLCS, and even they will tell you that it was a disappointing season, which is crazy to think about. They went to the NLCS. I mean, that's for a Chicago Cub team to go to the NLCS.
Third year in a row.
And be disappointed is crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of it had to do with injuries, and a lot of these young players who didn't have the kind of seasons they had before. I'm thinking about guys like Addison Russell.
Yeah, a lot of injuries to Addison Russell. I think that nobody ever wants to hear this, and I know people are going to be rolling their eyes, and I've said this 100 times since they lost game five to LA when they were eliminated at Wrigley, NLCS. Those dudes in the clubhouse looked like they could have just laid down on the ground in front of us, grabbed like a towel, and just went to bed. They were completely done. And nobody wants to hear that about professional athletes, that they were tired or exhausted. They gave it everything they had, believe me. But when you factor in that NLDS against the Nationals,
yeah,
which was intense, white-knuckle stuff for five games, then you factor in the fact to their slow start they had last year.
They had to make up a lot of ground.
They had to make up a lot of ground, which meant they were playing a lot of high-leverage, very important games, particularly against division rivals in Milwaukee and St. Louis. Remember, they clinched in St. Louis, but they had back-to-back huge series in Milwaukee, then in St. Louis. Now, they rose to the occasion.
They won those. That was amazing.
And the biggest thing for me was those were – so all those towards the end of the regular season, they had to fight to finish those guys off. Then they had to fight off Washington in five games. So I totally get it. They were gassed. They were done in the NLCS. Yes, but one of the biggest things that that those stressful games impacted on the team was the bullpen. The bullpen was throwing a ton of like high leverage innings and a lot of innings in general. That made it tough for the Cubs. We saw that in the NLDS, and then by the time the NLCS rolled on, everybody was just gassed. So I don't know where we started with this little tangent.
But it's interesting.
I just think that it's a different mentality. And you said like they were upset about the NLCS. I think like they were all like, damn, I can't believe we went back to the NLCS in some ways, like factoring in everything.
Well, think about it. The years before, and Schwarber was hurt, but you had a down year for Kyle Schwarber last year. We found him bouncing back and forth from the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Addison Russell didn't even, I don't even think he played 100 games. This year, you're going to see, you saw, as you just mentioned, the bullpen had a lot of trouble. You're going to see this year a team that has remade the end of their bullpen with Brandon Morrow's in, Wade Davis is out. Kyle Schwarber's in camp. He's a lot thinner. Addison Russell is back at shortstop. That moves Baez to second for good. I mean, they seem to be Albert Elmora plus Ian Happ. I think Joe Maddon once again is in that issue where he's got too much talent and he's going to have to juggle.
Those good problems.
But I mean, when you think about everything you just said about them getting tired, they seem to be ready, reloaded, and seem to be the favorites in the National.
100%, and there's really no holes on this roster. I can't find one. Well, I mean, at least at this point of spring, where we're about to break camp and about to kick off the season, like, you're nitpicking at this point if you're trying to find holes in the Cubs roster. The bullpen has strike throwers. That was the problem. It was guys can't throw strikes. They were walking people late. You know, I look back at this time last year, and if you looked at the Cubs rotation, there were some serious question marks about the longevity of it. Like last year, we're like, okay, this is the last year you're going to have the core guys of like Arrieta, Lackey, Lester all together, and of course you'll have Hendricks. But you look at last year's starting five; it was basically Lester, Arrieta, Lackey, Hendricks, and Brett Anderson, who was basically a flyer.
Right.
Look at the starting five this year. Find a better starting five in baseball, top to bottom.
Yeah.
Jose Quintana's their fourth starter, and Tyler Chatwood's their fifth starter, and you basically have a sixth starter in Mike Montgomery. So there's no holes there. The offense positionally is basically just going to be Joe Maddon playing whatever matchups he wants to play, and people can gripe about the leadoff spot. It doesn't really matter because they have plenty of talent. The idea of the classic leadoff man in baseball really doesn't even exist anymore. You're going to see Happ, you're going to see Elmora in the leadoff spot, you're going to see Zobrist, and you'll probably see even a touch of Schwarber, depending on how his year goes.
It's so exciting, man.
So not a lot of holes for the Cubs. Yeah. They're dialed in, and I think starting strong for them this year will actually matter, because you looked at their slow start last year and how that impacted them down the stretch when they had ground to make up and they had to close out guys. So if they can build a little gap between Milwaukee and St. Louis and save those arms and save those high leverage games for the postseason rather than late in the regular season, I think it'll be enough.
All right, Kevin Powell is in studio tonight. We'll take a break. We come back, we'll talk about the Chicago White Sox and what they're doing with their 2018 season here on The Download. Stay with us. Kevin, of course, on with Ro and Anna every afternoon here in WGN, but he also covers baseball for WGN, including his podcast, Powell at the Park. All right, so let's talk about the Chicago White Sox,
yes,
which now, of course, here broadcast here on WGN. This is a rebuilding year. Rick Hahn, last year they asked him a couple times about rebuilding. He's like, I wouldn't say, you know, blah, blah. He hemmed and hawed this year straight out the gate. Yeah. They're all on the same page.
You know what? We were talking a little bit before the segment, and I sarcastically tweeted at White Sox at Sox Fest this year. I said my goal at Sox Fest is to find the one fan who's against this rebuild and wants them to rebuild via free agency. Yeah. And I said it sarcastically, and people were like laughing, and we were all joking about it. And I found the one guy, and he's sitting right across from me. It's Justin Kaufman, host of the Download.
I have made that very public in my last couple years.
I was stunned. At first, I thought you were joshing me when you were telling me that you're not happy with the current status of the White Sox.
Well, as a White Sox fan, I don't mind the rebuild. I just don't like losing. And you don't mind. I mean, there's a certain style of losing, but if the goal is at the beginning of camp in spring training to say we're going to lose, I don't think Cubs fans liked it at the time. I don't think White Sox fans liked it. Yeah.
Maybe it worked a couple years ago. My point being
that I don't like, as a fan, I like Hope Springs Eternal. I got Chicago in my blood. You want this team to be competitive and put the best team on the field. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have holes in left field, center field, third base, catch everywhere around the board just because in 3 years it'll be good. That's my point.
Right. But if you were to sign some veteran free agent now, you could potentially be blocking a prospect of developing.
Yeah,
so that's my argument with that.
All right, let's talk about that.
Okay,
because the Chicago White Sox, they had a good camp and a lot of eyes on these guys because of all the young players and the talent that they had at camp. A lot of them back in the minors to start the season.
Yeah.
But right now, before we get to talk, let's talk about those players. But right now, I mean, are we set on what we can expect from the 2018 White Sox? Well, who's going to be playing where? Who's going to be pitching? That kind of stuff?
Pretty much. The starting five is going to feature three guys that are part of the rebuild. And Carson Fulmer actually isn't 100% on a guarantee because he's had a rough spring with some command stuff, but he's likely going to be on the big league club. So your starting rotation is going to feature three guys that actually matter, three guys that probably could be here for the long term in the rotation for the future. And Lucas Giolito, who I believe
had a great second half last year.
Second half when they called him up, made seven starts, I want to say, when they called him up. Looked amazing in spring training. Looked great. Reynaldo Lopez has some command issues, and Carson Fulmer. Those three are the young pitchers. They're a part of kind of the tip of the iceberg of a giant crop of prospects.
They're up. They're up. At least two of them are.
All three of them are going to be in the starting rotation to start the year. And then there's James Shields and Miguel Gonzalez. Miguel Gonzalez is probably a guy you just want to flip at the deadline. James Shields, maybe we can get another miracle, and he can somehow be fairly decent in the first half of the year, and the Sox can trade him and flip him for prospects. So those three of the five like actually matter. So there you have it. Like, you're going to see three guys that you're going to watch grow, you're going to watch develop, and those are three guys that actually matter in who you're watching on the field.
The other player to watch this year, of course, Jose Abreu is back with the White Sox, which is great. But Yoan Moncada, the second baseman, who was the number one prospect last year, he's the guy we got for Chris Sale.
Yeah.
He is now the full-time second baseman for this club. There's even talk of him leading off for the squad. So this is a year to watch for Yoan Moncada.
100%. I have no doubts. I have no reservations about Yoan Moncada whatsoever. I just don't know what sort of player he's going to be yet, because there was initial comps to like Robinson Cano, but I don't know if he has the power that Cano has. Not saying that's necessarily a horrible thing. You can contribute in all sorts of ways. So I don't know if he's the middle of the order type guy that's going to smack you 30 homers and have a ton of power and stuff like that and win an MVP or something along those lines. I also wasn't forecasting him being a leadoff guy, but now that he is in that spot, he says how much he loves to lead off. It makes sense. His signature at bat last year was a freaking walk. Yeah. It was a walk for the White Sox.
Yeah, I was going to say,
he has the best eye on the Sox.
You mentioned the league has changed on who's leading off.
Yeah.
You saw the Cubs have experimented like crazy, but George Springer in Houston is a great example of these monster talents that lead off. That aren't usually the prototypical leadoff.
That's a great point. I think for the large part, of course, you don't want like some slugger who's going to slow down, you know, clog up your base paths. But the idea of like a Ricky Henderson doesn't really exist anymore. You know, I think what you want is a guy who's going to draw good at bats, get and a high on base percentage. That's the big thing of it. And honestly, in some ways, your best hitter. You can always just make an argument that your best hitter should always be your leadoff guy, because in the long run, they're always going to have the most at-bats in a full 162-game season because of the obvious, because the way the lineup works, and you're going to get four or five minimum at-bats per game. But at the same time, there is something to be said about putting a guy second or third. I mean, the Cubs have Bryant second for a reason, because you're getting him more at-bats throughout the year. He's not necessarily your leadoff guy, and I don't think they're even going to screw around with that. So Moncada, to me, feels like a leadoff or a two guy. I'm totally fine with it.
Okay, so let's talk about some of these youngsters. There are two players. I mean, there are so many prospects in the in the Sox system. Luis Robert is one of which we won't see, 19-year-old kid out of Cuba. But the two that we may see this year, Eloy Jimenez, the left fielder we got for Jose Quintana from the Cubs, but also Michael Kopech, the hard-throwing, 100 miles per hour, real star of spring training. Everybody everybody in baseball is watching this kid.
Yeah.
And there are projections that he might be the quote-unquote Chris Bryant rule this year, where you get to May and they now get that extra year of control,
right,
and it's Michael Kopech time. Do you think we'll see Michael Kopech in the rotation this year?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see Kopech as long as he stays healthy and stays on track. The big thing for him is, you know, you see these guys who are flamethrowers and they come through the lower systems and they know they can just throw it past everybody. So the big thing is developing a third pitch, which is a changeup for him, because it's a big difference between pitching and throwing. Throwing, you can go up there and throw it 100 miles per hour, throw a little breaking ball.
But someone's going to hit it 500 feet.
Someone will pick up on it. In the big league, somebody absolutely will. So right now they have him working on his changeup. He also pitched the most amount of innings last year of his entire life. He pitched 130 innings, which was 50 more than what he had thrown the previous season. So I think you're going to see that kind of factored in. He threw 130-ish last year. They're probably looking at like 170 to 180 innings.
So he'd be the target where they did that with Giolito in Washington, where they kind of shut him down at a certain point because they're like, hey,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. I mean, there's no
he's
point.
On a pitching,
there's no point.
He's on a pitch limit.
Yeah. So I think you'll see him probably, let's just say June-ish for him, and then Eloy's going to start probably in Double-A, and I think he's going to, you know, after a couple weeks, they're going to be like, okay, this isn't fair for the rest of the rest of the players in this league. Let's get him to Triple-A, and then I think Eloy Jimenez, to me, is just MVP-type stuff, because he has the power in the bat to put up MVP-type numbers, 30 and 100-plus, crazy numbers. I feel like he has respect like around the league already. People are in an awe of this guy. Yeah. So look for Eloy Jimenez. And I will throw one other name out there for you. Dylan Cease was also part of that Cubs trade. It was Quintana to the Cubs for Cease and Eloy Jimenez. Man,
he had a great spring.
And in Rick Hahn, sorry to shameless plug my podcast, but I was talking to Rick Hahn, and I asked him about Cease, and he said Cease has as high as an upside as anybody in their system, including Michael Kopech. So high praise for Cease, and when I saw Cease up close, I was like, man, this
is
some serious stuff.
You could see with Kopech and Cease, if they both come up at some point, you could see all five of the starting pitchers that are young and part of these prospects playing.
Yeah.
And the journeyman part of the Sox last 5 years is done.
Right. And who knows if that'd be set, because rotations are crazy and injuries happen, and they still have a whole bunch still in the Dane Dunning, Alec Hansen. The list goes on and on. So, You're going to see some real glimpses of the future.
All right, you convinced me.
All right? Are you in on the rebuild? Okay.
I'm always in on the rebuild. I'm always in on the side.
I made him a believer.
I just like to see them compete this year.
All right, I'm with you, man. It's going to be fun. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
His podcast, Powell at the Park, can be found, of course, on iTunes, but also through WGNRadio.com, and you can hear him every afternoon with Ro and Anna. Thanks, bud.
This is fun. Let's just talk baseball for another 3 hours. Is that fine?
I would do it. All right.